Tim Fleming in the morning on AM 1300 KGLO.
Your hometown news station is AM 1300 KGLO, and we are your home for Mason City Mohawk football games in the fall. And John Lee is back at the helm as the head football coach at Mason City High School. John's on our KGLO live line with me right now. John, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are we doing?
Good. Boy, it seems like yesterday you and I were sitting down doing pregame shows and going over lineups and all that kind of stuff, huh?
It doesn't seem like it's been 10 years. It's kind of crazy how fast that's gone by. Yeah, here we are again.
Here we are again. Well, let's talk about that whole here we are again. You got out of the head coaching position about 10 years ago. And so now tell everybody why now? Why back into it? What's got John excited about being a head football coach again?
Right. Well, I'd be lying if when I said I didn't quit the first time. There's always that little seed that second-guessed it, you know, regretted it to an extent. It was the right decision at the right time for me and my family. But then within a year, I kind of decided I needed a challenge. I needed something in my life. And so I got on the city council gig. And I guess over the years, the football thing just never went away. I always brewed and watched and I coached flag football with my sons, you know, not the same. And then last year really comes down to when the coaching position came open. I thought about it. You know, I thought really hard about it, even talked to the administrators a little bit about it. And then when the deadline came to put the application, and I never did it. And as soon as that was closed, I found out, I just realized I regretted it. It's like, you know, sometimes you have two choices. You flip a coin, you see its head, and you're like, oh, I really wanted the other one. And it clarifies the answer for you. I think that kind of is what happened when I missed that date last year. I said, I guess I really wanted to do it. I didn't know I really wanted to do it. And I thought, okay, well, Cruzy will come in. He'll be here for years. You know, we'll get involved in football some other way through, you know, assistant coach or whatever. And then came back from spring break and the job was open. And I thought, well, I got to go for it this time.
Yeah, when you talk about that, it's interesting because when you did get out of it the first time, you even did some volunteer coaching, didn't you?
Yeah. 2 years later, you know, my mentor, but almost my father figure growing up was Mike Dirksen. And Mike Dirksen in 2000 and I think 11, a couple weeks or whatever it was before football season, gave me a call and said, would you like to come out and help us out at Newman? And I said, oh my gosh, I mean, how do I not coach for Mike Dirksen when I literally saw him as, like I said, a mentor growing up or a father-like figure. And so, yeah, I took that advantage for just a year. I coached out there for a year. And then after that, actually, I had some health issues I had to deal with. And then so that took another 2 years or so to get through. And then, like I said, coached some flag football. But for the most part, you've been out of the game. But you watch. I talk to you. I still always, during each football season, I still have my 8 coaches around the state of Iowa. Contacted, we'd talk on weekends. Dave Holderman was always one of them. You know, I had my buddies at Ankeny, Taylor Anderson, and Ryan Bear. And so I kind of always kind of kept an eye on it. But, yeah, I was never really officially part of high school football, than the year at Newman.
So you stay in touch with Holdy down in Texas, huh?
Well, all the way through his championship, well, runner-up status, which – I'll give a shout-out to him. I think, if I might be wrong, but he may be the last guy to beat Dowling in the playoffs. He beat Dowling in the semifinals. I don't know how people remember that, but
yeah,
I can't confirm that, but he literally may be the last team to beat Dowling in the playoffs. We even talked yesterday. He called me up and said, get back into it, huh, Coach? I said, yeah, and so it was a great conversation to talk to him again. So, yeah.
Outstanding. Now, John, too, and people wondering, too, now, so you've got all your teaching, and you're adding coaching. And yep. And you mentioned the fact that you're a council member. It sounds like the day in the life of John Lee has gotten pretty busy.
Yeah. There's no doubt. My day just got really filled, even with the extra time we all have on our hands right now because of COVID. It's going to be a challenge. But you know, with the city council, I talked to city administrator and the mayor and said, "Hey, what's going on?" And let them know probably an hour or two before the official release, public release, and I want to give them a heads up. And traditionally during the summer, city council really doesn't have workshops. All the projects have been, you know, budgeted, set. There's not a whole lot going on. And so it doesn't take a ton of time. It starts gearing back up toward the, you know, late fall, October, November. So we're going to play it by ear. And I said, if I can survive, you know, for 6 months, I will. But if at any point where I feel time is too much of a strain, I'll have to reevaluate, and obviously it's not going to be the football job. I'll have to reevaluate city council and figure out what to do there. But I told them I will not be making any decision through the summer. I got plenty of time on my hands right now to do this and to do city council. And fortunately for me, you know, I got three kids who are about to graduate, a sophomore and an eighth grader, and they're, you know, more independent, and they don't need me hovering over them all the time. They probably prefer me not to be hovering over them all the time. And so, yeah, that's what we're doing. That's what we're going for.
John, let's talk a little bit about the kids now. And I know you love the game of football, and you love – I've been around you for a long time. I mean, I even broadcast your games when you were in high school.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, I've known you forever. But I know your love of teaching the game is something that you really, really enjoy. What about this group gets you excited that you're going to take over this year?
You know, I got a team, the team that's coming up here, the juniors, and you know, Mason City has been up and down the last couple of years, and I see a core nucleus, and I see a lot of kids in the hallways that probably should be playing, and we're going to do the best we can to recruit those kids and get them out there and get the numbers built back up. That's one thing I think the staff 10 years ago, and I know the staff now, we all know numbers is the key. Everybody says that about all sports, but I think when it came down to it, really everybody looks at football and realizes, no, it is a numbers game. It's the way to practice and stuff. So there's a core here. There's a nucleus here, you know, that you can build around. You know, when you have, you know, two offensive linemen that are dang near, you know, you and I, Iowa State level linemen or wherever they're looking at, and how do you not get excited? You can build a pretty good program around offensive linemen and watch the draft. You know, that's kind of what you do. And there's the biggest thing I would love to do is get out and evaluate all skills and all talent. I'm going to avoid for, you know, I guess I threw two names out there, well, positions, but this has got to be a come together group. And I do love teaching the game of football. And more important than that, it's really teaching kind of life skills through the game of football and what football offers you as you go through life and navigate through life. And so I really look forward to being that position again. One thing is, in the past, I think one thing that burnt me out the first time is, you know, I try to do almost all of it. And, you know, you had all your assistant coaches, and I had my D coordinator and special teams coaches, but I really oversaw a little bit of everything and try to do all practice schedules, all everything, and I will still do that, but I really need to spread that responsibility out and make this a lot more fun for me and the kids and staff and the community. I've already got a lot of messages via all sorts of things saying, hey, let me know what we can do to help out, and I'm saying, well, I'm going to then. You know, I think 10 years ago I said, hey, thanks, don't worry about it, we got it. No, we're going to need support from the community, we're going to need support from former players. You know, I already got a couple going to, I think, do some work for me. If you remember Travis Vellantez is the director of applied science at the University of Texas. he actually basically is the cutting edge research guy when it comes to sports science, and then he coaches the trainers and the conditioning guys to be, you know, he coaches the football, the basketball coach, strength coordinators to coach the kids. So I've already been in contact with him. He's helping me develop a program for the Mohawks that the kids can do in the backyards. How to become a better athlete? No one's going to deadlift 350 pounds in the backyard, but can we do things to become an athlete who likes to compete? That's what we're looking for. And so this week, him and I are developing that. When I say him and I mean pretty much him, and I'm just kind of going through it and then watching him do some stuff. We'll do that via Zoom or Google Hangout conferencing and stuff like that. So I'm going to rely on a lot of our former athletes, former players, coaches, community members to build what I think could be a great community centerpiece for us.
John, does it look like a lot of the various coaches, have you had a chance to talk to the other assistants on the staff?
I sent an email out to all of them or some, you know, text. And the struggle is how to get together as a staff right now with COVID. So I'm going to try to meet with them all one-on-one, phone call, a couple of them. We may meet social distancing, you know, and I got a back patio screened in. We can sit across from each other. But a lot of it in the next week or two is just me with all of them, seeing I have a form that, you know, I had all the coaches basically fill out at the end of each season. For the last, you know, 5 or 6 years of my career, now I have the kids, the coaches kind of fill that out. It's just thoughts for the, you know, the things that went well, things that need to improve, kids that they think, you know, will play in certain positions, and just get a feel for the program from through their eyes. You know, I've known a lot of them still over the last couple of years, and I still always took an interest in talking to some of them about the game of football. But I never really dissected it the way I need to dissect it now. So, I will rely on the coaching staff a lot. I've known all of them. They're all really good guys, and they're dedicated to the game of football. And I'm just hoping that, you know, taking their positives and skill sets and what they do well and what I like to think we did well back in the day and tie the best of both worlds together, and we're going to build something here that the community of the school can be proud of. You know, Tim, you know me. I've never called it my program. It's the Mohawk football program. And they give it to somebody to be the caretaker of. And we call that guy the head coach or the coaches, whatever. But this program goes back to 1906, basically, and I expect it to continue for 100 years after us. And so we just got to put it back together, put it in a shape that this community can be proud of, and see where it leads us.
John, I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for your family, too, because I'm guessing that they're pretty excited that you're going to be back wandering the sidelines.
Yeah, they all are. Actually, one of them has never forgiven me. My senior daughter, Matilda, has never forgiven me. Literally has never forgiven me for getting out of that. She got super excited the year I was for Newman. And then, the heartbreak story was she was in middle school or in, I think fifth grade at the time or fourth grade. And she was in elementary and she had to do a play the day we were in the semifinals on the dome. And I told her, I said, you have to go to school today. We will have another game. I really felt we were going to win that game. You know, I'm sure Mike did too and everybody else. And we did a card game, don't get me wrong, but I was hoping we'd get another game out of it. Plus, she was in school. I wasn't going to pull her out of school. Well, I had to pick her up from school that day and tell her we lost. And she has never forgiven me for either of those choices. So actually, on Saturday when I told her, she jumped up in joy, gave me a hug. She goes, I've been waiting 10 years, Dad. So that was a pretty cool moment. So I think maybe she has finally forgiven me. She still maybe hasn't forgiven me.
I'm sure she's forgiven you for sure. Absolutely for sure. John, congratulations again. And
thank you very much.
And I'd say welcome back, but you've been there all along. You just haven't been out on the football field.
Right, very much so.
John, we got to figure out how to get people back in classrooms and things like that, too, and we'll get through this COVID-19 situation. And I know it's been a tough one. Teachers and coaches and students and everybody, you mentioned you have a senior at Mason City High. This is a tough challenge in a lot of different ways.
This is you know, we all know it's unparalleled. People keep talking about, you know, the 1918, 1919 or whatever, but we all know we are in a different world. And so this is unprecedented for all of us. The quarantine, not touching, not seeing, and how do you build a program around this? But also, I do love teaching. It absolutely is my, you know, outside my family, it's probably my biggest passion more than even coaching or what city council. And so it's been very hard. You know, it's, I still teach, you know, Google Zoom, and we teach through Google Classroom, but that's not, first off, I will, maybe they don't want me to admit this or not, but I'm not nearly the teacher that I am on a computer or a Zoom. And I don't think the kids are getting nearly the education they deserve. And it applies for all services across this country and the state. And so I understand going slow, and I understand, you know, reopening slowly and all that. And we got to do what's right and what's, you know, best. But it is so hard to watch my daughter not, you know, get her senior year, and watch the other kids that's grown up since, you know, kindergarten not to get their senior year. And also watching the spring sports not get a season, and baseball and softball, they're on the cusp, you know. Your guess is as good as mine, but we both have probably a similar guess. And then football is right around the corner. If it spikes again and there's a second wave like some are predicting, we really don't know what to expect come August 1st. So it's hard on everybody. And I kind of said this to a lot of people. I think the people who want to go back to work and the people who think we should still be sheltered in place for longer, one thing operates both of us, and it's fear. Everybody's afraid. You know, are we afraid of losing our jobs? Are we afraid of losing a loved one? And when an entire country is making decisions out of fear, it's a really bad spot to be in. And we got to somehow get out of that as soon as we can.
John, always great to talk to you. I look forward to seeing you this fall at the sidelines of Mason City High. Congratulations.
Can't wait for our first pregame, Tim. It'll be awesome.
John, take care of yourself. Have a great day.
You too. Stay safe.
Thanks, John. John Lee with us, a new head football coach at Mason City High School, back on the sidelines again this next fall.